all over Surrey, and everything got to some of the good stuff. I was like, they didn't get to do that. Yeah, but that's what security does. Hey, so we were finishing up our series. We finished up Guardrails. Sorry I wasn't here last week. I was sick in bed, running a fever, all that kind of thing. And I don't think I've taken 3 days off work in a long time, but it was really good to sit at home and do nothing for 3 days. I get really bored. So we finished up our Guardrail series last week. Abby did a great talk on
love.
I listened to it. It's posted online. So you could, yeah, of course, we post everything online. So.
All right.
So Abby's wife will find out that he actually spilled the beans and said they're having another child. That was probably not what you were supposed to say, but that's good. Just popped right out, didn't it? Not the baby. Just that the baby's coming. So if you don't have a journal yet with us, leaders, make sure you come and grab one. If somebody's new and doesn't have a journal, get one out of the cupboard there for them. If they don't have one, if you have your journals, they're on the back table. And we're starting a new series. All right, so we're starting a new series called Choose Wisely. Up to this point, we've been looking at guardrails. We've been talking about different ways that God tries to protect us, how he tries to put boundaries on our lives in order for us to have the best life possible. And those boundaries involve all the different things we've been talking about, and there's so many more. We've stopped talking about them, but there's still lots more we could have talked about. And so then we get to the second part of what we all have to learn to do, and that is, how do we make choices? How do we choose wisely what we should and we shouldn't do? Now, for those that did not join us on the weekend, some of us went on a retreat. Who's got their rocks with them? What? You didn't bring your rock?
I didn't know we were supposed to.
Oh, that's just so sad. So those of you that didn't go on retreat, shame on you, but that's okay. You missed a good time. And you know what's best about a retreat is always that God puts the right people there, so the people that he wants there. So I'm not going to do retreat highlights tonight, but each of the people that went was stuck in front of the camera, and they had to answer a question, which is, what did you learn? Abraham, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are. So this is what some of the people learned on our retreat.
No.
Oh, yes.
I told you I was going to play it.
Oh, yes.
This is my rock, and this weekend I learned that, well, I learned how to, like, really love someone without having to have them do something that kind of made them prove that they love me too. And I learned how to really appreciate someone for doing something so small and understand just kind of who they are by small things that they do. And my favorite retreat moment was probably on Saturday when I realized that I could be loved, because I never really understood that before, and I realized that I deserve to be loved as well.
This is my rock, and this weekend I learned that it's not a good idea to build your life on your own accomplishments and things you've done, because that can only take away from you. And we need to build our life on something that's more solid. And my favorite retreat moment was when we played hide and seek in the dark, and I went and hid, and then everybody had to look for me.
Yeah, we didn't
this
find
is
her.
My rock, and on the weekend I learned how easy it is to slip away from God and go into slippery sand. And my favorite retreat moment was the games and the rope swing.
So this is my rock, and what I learned from this retreat is that I guess the way I was sick, God was sick with the way I was living my life. And that I decided to change the way I was living my life by starting to follow him. And my favorite part of this retreat was that we could just all get together and learn about God.
This is my rock, and this weekend I learned
that the rock means the foundation, and it has a lot of different meanings. And my favorite moment was playing board games.
This is my rock, and this weekend I learned that the rock represents God, and that we need to live our life on the rock and not on the sand. And my favorite retreat moment was when we went hiking to Pebble Beach to get our rocks.
Okay, this is my rock, and this weekend I learned about how God is like a rock and how to build my life and my faith on Him. And my favorite retreat moment was playing competitive Monopoly with Jacob.
This is my rock, and this weekend I learned that rocks are our friends. And my favorite retreat memory was playing Monopoly with Julie.
So this is my rock, and I learned that that we can either choose to build our house on the sand or on the rock. And my favorite moment at retreat was the night games and the hike.
This is my rock, and I learned that building a solid house means a daily decision to do so. And my favorite retreat moment was taking pictures.
This is my rock, and what I learned is we have some really nice young people at who are very competitive board game people. And I've had a lot of fun just relaxing in the beautiful outdoors.
Awesome, I love it. This is my holy rock. And what I learned this weekend is, like this rock, you can be chipped away at by the world, but if your foundation is solid, you're not going anywhere. You're as solid as ever. And probably my favorite part of this weekend was waking up voluntarily at 7:30 yesterday and seeing a bunch of youth out reading books in the living room. A very rare sighting, I must say. But it broke my heart.
Yes, it's like the spotted leopard.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is my rock, and this weekend I learned that God should be our solid foundation, and I should base my life on Him. And my favorite retreat moment was waking up and seeing all the youth kids voluntarily reading and being quiet.
Reading, I don't get it.
This is my rock, and this weekend I learned that I have to constantly choose to build my life on this instead of the sinking sand. And my favorite retreat moment was going on a walk to Pebble Beach.
This is actually not a rock, it's a sea glass marble, and God put it there because my dad died a little while ago, and I knew Dad would love marbles, and so he wanted me to have this. And so God even takes care of little tiny things like sea glass marbles for us because He loves us. And I learned that the youth in Sierra Grove are amazing and lovely. And
Cher, what was your favorite part of this weekend? What did you learn about the rock? What did you learn? You don't know? He's a little camera shy. Well, that's about it. That's all he's got for you.
That and a whole lot of drool. So, if you didn't get a chance to go to this retreat, maybe next time you will sign up and join us. I think the best part about retreat is you had to be there, right? So those of you that are sitting there going, oh, that's nice, they learned about a rock. Okay, it was a lot more than that, but that was just a way to kind of summarize what we did and the things that we enjoyed. And so that's what retreats do. They bring people together, and those people connect, and usually at a deeper level. So when they talked about the rock, we talked about sand, we talked about how we have to build our lives. And so when we talk about choosing wisely, it always reminds me of my very favorite movie clip.
You must choose. But choose wisely. For as the true grail will bring you life, the false grail will take it from you. I'm not a historian. I have no idea what it looks like. Which one is it?
Let me choose.
Let me choose.
Thank you, Doctor.
cup is representing Jesus' cup at the Last Supper, so he thinks it should be gorgeous, beautiful. If he chooses wisely, life is good.
Certainly is the cup of the King of Kings.
The guy in the back. He chose poor.
He chose poor.
Really? So what cup would Jesus drink out of?
That's the cup of a carpenter.
The simple sub cup of the carpenter. Choose, that's just what are you going to choose? And that's the challenge in life, is that we always have to make a choice. We have to choose. It's not like we can just go, well, I don't want to choose, so I'm just going to walk away. You have to make a choice. And in life, so many things we have to choose. So this week, I'm going to lay the foundations for how to choose. Then we're going to look at 6 or 7 of the biggest areas of your life. And we're going to delve into how would you make choices in those areas of your life. So, step one, write these down because these could save your life one day. These are the kinds of things that we need to put in our Bibles, we need to put in our journals, we need to remember, because the steps that I'm going to give you are the biblical steps for making a decision. The first one is to believe God's word. So the Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we have to start with God's word. If we profess to be a Christian, even more so. If we don't really know who Jesus is, then we might not understand why that's important. But once we have a relationship with Jesus, we have to start realizing that the proper place that it takes place is God's word. Wisdom starts with that proper relationship with God. What he has said about himself, about you, about your circumstances, your relationships, it all starts with understanding God's word. And you have to ask this very important question every time. Is what you're considering sin? So as a Christian, as a believer in God, the first question you have to ask about any choice, whether it's a choice of who you want to date, choice of whether to take a job, the choice of whether or not to skip school, the choice on whether or not to lie to your parents, the first question you have to say is it sin? Because if the Bible says it's sin, the answer is yes, then the process is over. You automatically know what decision has to be made. You can't sin. So the Bible says, hey, I've given you guidelines. Look at those guidelines. If the guideline is, if this is sin, then you can't do it. So when we look at some of the big issues that you have to make decisions about, the first thing you have to say is there anywhere in the Bible that says this is sin. This is wrong. Because if there's a place in the Bible that says it's wrong, you can't say, oh, well, I'm going to choose that anyway. Because if you do, you know that you're completely choosing against God's will. And God will never honor that, and he's never going to bless that, and he's never going to make it come without consequences. So the first thing he says is it sin? Is there somewhere in God's word that says this is wrong? Well, the problem with many of the things that we want to do is that it's not necessarily a sin. It's just kind of a gray area. It's like, I don't know, should I or shouldn't I? It doesn't exactly say, thou shalt not smoke marijuana. It doesn't say, thou shalt not take a job at Starbucks. Those are what we call gray areas in the Bible. There's no clear cut yes or no, or this is sin. And so, well, what do we do with those gray areas? How do we know whether to say yes or no? Well, again, the Bible gives us some clear instruction on what we do if it's a gray area. The first thing we have to consider is God's gospel. What I'm choosing, is this going to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is this going to further God's kingdom? Is what I'm doing going to actually benefit the preaching of God's word or the doing of God's word? Now you say, well, how would taking a job at Starbucks or not taking a job at Starbucks affect God's gospel? Well, that's a good question. And that's one you have to ask yourself. Will this job give me an opportunity to further God's gospel? Now you might say, well, you can't really preach at work because, you know, I could make little crosses on all my cups that I give to my people, but you'll probably get fired for that at some point. So you can't write little Bible verse messages on the cups. Hey, Stephanie, spelt your name wrong, but look up Luke 7:17, right? No, you can't do that. So how do you bring the gospel to a job? Well, you do that by sharing with your coworkers. You do that by taking the money that you receive from that job that you have and tithing it back to God for God's work to go on. And so sometimes a job is a means to an end. It's not the end itself. And so God's gospel can go forward, not necessarily in the job situation, but through what I might do in that job. And we also have to look at God's sovereignty. See, God is sovereign over everything. And so when we choose to do something, we have to recognize that God is going to take control of it. So let's say I'm deciding at school whether or not to cheat on a test. Is that sin? Yes, thank you. Nod your head. Yes. Decisions made. I don't do it. If I do it, there will be consequences. Now, I might get away with it, but that doesn't mean I've gotten away with the consequences, because I have to live with the guilt of what I did. I have to live with the shame if it ever does come out. Does it take away from the gospel? Absolutely. If my friends look at me and go, hey, you're supposed to be a Christian and you just cheated on a test, well, then it's going to be a little hard for me then to share Jesus with them, because they're looking at a hypocrite. They're looking at somebody who claims to know Jesus but doesn't. And so whatever decision, I think Abby said it when we were praying about God is in everything, every decision, every breath that we take, because he's sovereign over all. So we have to recognize that if it's a gray area, okay, if God gets a hold of this, is this going to be good? Is God going to honor this? Is he going to bless this? Is there going to be a way for God to take my decision and just do great things with it? Because he's sovereign, and he will. The third one is God's mission. Is it about making disciples? So there are a lot of things that I can choose. The question is, am I choosing something that's going to allow me to make disciples? So your friends that you spend time with, when you have to choose, is this a friend I want to spend more time with? Well, it's a gray area, because God doesn't come right out and say, don't spend time with May. Right? He's not going to pick names. He's not going to say, don't spend time with Abraham. He's going to say, well, you have a choice. These are people that are in your life. Do you want to spend more time with these friends? And you say, well, can I disciple this person? Can I help this person grow closer to Jesus? Can I help this person learn more about Jesus Christ? If I can, then I want to be in that relationship. If I can't, that's not probably a healthy relationship for me. And you say, well, does that mean we have to witness to every person that's a friend? Absolutely. Sorry, that's God's standard. Go and make disciples of all nations. He wasn't just saying go and make disciples in Africa. He's saying, no, I put you in Surrey. I put you at Guildford Park. I put you at Kwantlen Park. I put you at North Surrey because you are supposed to be there building disciples. Not sitting there with your mouth closed, just going about your day, going to school, doing my work. No. You're there to be God's missionary, to make disciples. And that turns everything around when we approach decisions that way. Because instead of just choosing something, we're now choosing it with a purpose. And if that person doesn't want to hear the gospel, doesn't want to be made into a disciple, then chances are God's saying, close that door. Go try someone else. I think I've told you this a million times. Back when I was doing youth ministry the first time, we had about this many youth, maybe 30, 35 youth. And I said to them, here's what we're going to do. Every Tuesday night when we meet, we're going to have a case of Coke and Pepsi. And every Tuesday, you take two cans. You choose. Doesn't matter to me. You take two. And on Wednesday, at lunch, you go into the cafeteria, and you look for somebody either in the halls or in the cafeteria that's sitting by themselves. And you go over, and you put the can of Coke in front of them and say, hey, I have an extra can of Coke. Just wanted to share it with you. Hey, and I wanted to invite you to our youth group. Awkward. Within 3 months, we were at 135 youth. Triple what we had. Almost quadruple what we had. Why? Because there are people in your schools who are desperately wanting something in their life. But you see, we don't go talk to them because we talk to the cool kids, or we talk to the group over here that likes the same things we like, or we like sports. We talk only to the sports people. Well, the sports people may not be interested in Jesus. So do we go, well, guess they're not interested. Oh, well, my job's done. No. Our job is to go find the people that need Jesus in their lives. And every school has them. They're just not the ones that are sitting out in front, the popular ones. They're not the ones that are up there doing all, hey, look at me. Why? Because they're usually the ones that are hurting, suffering, lonely, maybe depressed. Maybe their family lives aren't going well. And they're just looking for someone to come along and say, I've got some hope for you. I've got something that you need. And this youth group's barely grown this year. And my question would be, are you out there choosing friends because you can disciple them and you can share Christ with them? Or are you just choosing to be with the same people who you've never actually shared Jesus with, or invited them to come to youth, or shared that you're a Christian, or told them, hey, I don't like the way we talk like that. Maybe we could change our tone. Well, who are you? Okay, well, that might be the end of that friendship. Because you now have stood up for the things that you believe. But up to this point, you've never stood up for them. So who's going to listen? So step one, check the Bible. Step two, listen to godly counsel. So the first thing is go to the Bible. The Bible's always our first source. The second is listen to godly people. One of the greatest gifts God has given you is people. People in your life. Where there is no guidance, people fall, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety, Proverbs 11. And what the Bible is saying is, look, I give you people. I put people in your life. Godly people that you can learn to trust and talk to and ask for advice. And it doesn't matter what age you are. I have godly people I go to for decisions. I don't know everything. I won't know everything until I get to heaven. So I have to have godly people. And when people speak into your life and decisions, there's safety. Because now Caitlin comes up to me and says, hey, I'm thinking of this. What do you think? And she asks a godly person, and that godly person says, well, you know, my study of the Bible and the things I know about God is probably not a good idea. Okay, thank you for that advice. That's going to help me make this decision. And then maybe she doesn't like me and doesn't like my advice, so Caitlin goes to Abby and says, hey, Abby, I was thinking about doing this. What do you think? And Abby says, oh, yeah, go for it. Oh, wait a minute. Now I got one saying you go for it and one saying not a good idea. Then you go to a third godly person. Because not every godly person is going to give you the same answer. But you got to use that wisdom to try and find what is it that I should do. Whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding. but only expressing his opinion. I know it all. Yeah, well, you don't. You're 15. You're 16. You don't know it all. But there are people that are older than you that have gone through many of the things that you're struggling with or needing to make decisions about, and they can help you make those decisions. Who are the three people you should go to? One, go to family. Now, be careful here, because what if your parents aren't Christians? What if they don't know Jesus? Well, you can still get good wisdom from your parents, even if they don't know Jesus, right? Although you got to be careful there, because I know a couple situations where I said, well, what did your mom say? She said sleep with them. And I'm like, okay, that's probably not the best thing. You're 15, right? But some parents don't hold the same standards that God wants for your life. That's why we always go to God first, godly counsel second. But if our family isn't necessarily churched or knows the Bible, then we might go to somebody else, which is people in the church. You have leaders who are sitting here that spend each week with you. They're not necessarily way wiser than you, but they certainly can help you make decisions. You have pastors here. You have elders here. You have old people that would love to share their advice with you. They love to share their advice. And they've lived 50, 60, 70 years. And they've lived for Jesus all that time. They'd be happy to share with you. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So step one, the Bible. Step two, godly counsel. Step three, do what you want. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like such good advice. Do what you want. If the answer is yes, then do it. If the answer is no, then don't do it. It really can be that simple. God does not care whether you work at Starbucks or you work at McDonald's. God doesn't care if you spend time with this friend or that friend if you've done the other things first. Check with the Bible, check if it's sin, talk to godly counsel, and then he's like, go for it. Because God is going to work all things to your good if you follow God's plan. If you go to do your own thing, God's not going to necessarily honor that. So the next thing is do what you want. Now, I said, well, what do you want to do? I don't know. That's why I can't make the decision. Well, do you want to do it or don't you? I don't know. Okay, well, now you're just indecisive. Okay? That has nothing to do with whether God wants you to do it or God doesn't want to do it. That's just you going, I just don't know. Well, then make a decision. Just choose. Because the best part about Jesus is you have freedom. Freedom in Christ. As long as you have done those other things and you're not sinning, you're not choosing something that's sin, God says choose. You want to play basketball instead of soccer? Play basketball. Are you honoring God in either one? Then you're going to be fine. Do you want to do this or do you want to do that? Do what you want. If neither one of them is sin, then you get to do what you want. And God says, I'll honor that and I will bless you in it. Once you brought the decision under his authority, go ahead. And this is the part that seems to paralyze us. I wish you just said do it or don't do it. Like, don't tell me, just do what you want. I don't know what I want. That's the problem. All right, well then do it. Well, should I? Well, I just told you to do it. Okay, like if you really want somebody else to make your decision, fine, somebody else can make your decision for you. But really, it's up to you. What do you want to do? And the last one is ask for faith. So, yes, you got to make good decisions, but then what? Well, ask for faith. Say, okay, God, I've made a decision. Now, show me how it works. Show me if it's all good. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I chose to take this job, or I chose to do this, or I chose to talk to this person at school. Now show me. And that's the best part about God, is he shows up. So you look across the cafeteria, and you got that can of Coke, and you look at some kid, and you're like, okay, I have no idea who that is. But God just said, that's the kid I'm supposed to go talk to. And you go over to them and you say, hey, you give them that can of Coke. Ask for faith. Say, God, I'm going to do this. I need you in this. Now the kid may say, get lost, right? Does that mean I didn't choose wisely? No. Just means that particular person isn't interested in what you have today. And that's okay, because you were obedient to God. So ask for faith. Okay, so I'm going to give you the ones I came up with. If you come up with any others you think we need to talk about, in a minute you're going to have a group discussion, and you're going to say, okay, those were those were good, but he's hit the heavies. Like, what about just this? So these are the ones that I went online and I said, what are the top 10 things that teenagers make bad choices in? I thought, no, let's not ask about good choices. Let's go with bad choices. So the first one that came up was addictions. Now, it was very fascinating because every list had different addictions. There was alcohol, drugs, vaping, marijuana. There was computers, video games, and phones. Social media, physical fitness, eating, and body stuff. And entertainment, movies, and music. Those all fell under addictions, which I thought was fascinating because, of course, when we think addictions, we probably think drugs and alcohol. But these other ones came up as addictions that kids, teenagers need to deal with and make proper choices in. Okay, so take a look at that list. Number two was self-worth, body image, accepting who and how God created us, our differences, and what we can and cannot change. So the number of teenagers who look in a mirror and make bad choices because what they see in the mirror they're not happy with, huge group of people there in that category, who then decide, I'm going to try this, I'm going to tamper with this, I'm going to try a little of this, try a little of that, trying to make themselves feel good about themselves, but they're not doing what God has designed them to do, so it doesn't work out. It's a poor choice. So we're going to look at self-worth, dating and sex, enough said, friends. So we've talked about that one with the guardrail series, so I don't know if we have to talk about it again, but friends is another one they came up with. Five was school. And I thought, isn't that funny that school and making bad choices around school? A lot of it had to do with stress around school. How do I know what classes to take, what courses to take, what universities? And then the other one that came up, which I thought was fascinating, is how is what I'm learning affecting my faith? So when I'm sitting in science class or I'm sitting in humanities and we're talking about things that don't jive with what I know to be true in the Bible, that creates choices and stress because now I have to make a choice. Do I believe what the teacher says? Do I believe what my peers are saying around me? Or do I believe what God's word says? And that creates choice issues. Number six was parents. Apparently they're in trouble and bad choices are made around that. Whether or not to listen to them, I suppose, and honor them, and what's their purpose. And that was it. So, those were the six. I said 10, but I lumped in a whole bunch into addictions. So, I'm going to give you 3 minutes to talk as a group and say, are those the six? Or are there other decisions that you know you have to make that you struggle with making? And you would like help to know what does God say about it? And it might be, I mean, I don't know, I'm throwing things out because I'm trying to think of something that you won't relate to or will relate to, but could be, should I read romance novels? I don't know, that's a good question. Let's go to the Bible and find out what it says. Should I, what? Are there things that you struggle with knowing what the answer is and whether or not you should or shouldn't do them? What does God's word say you don't know? So anything that you want to learn about or anything that you feel is a decision that you would like help making, those are the things we want to cover in the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Go talk. What are they? Are those the best or are there others?
From that
All right, now comes the hard part. I'm going to throw one at you. I'm just going to pick one randomly. Okay, let's go with, let's just pick something that hopefully we've all probably thought about. Let's go marijuana. Okay. Marijuana. Okay, so I want you in the next 3 minutes to decide as a group whether you think it's right or wrong biblically to smoke marijuana. And after you've decided if it's right or wrong, can you find a verse that would say it's right or wrong? Go. You have 3 minutes.
I'm not sure any smoke in the bush. But.
What? What?
Yes or no? Is it a sin? And if so, is it right or wrong?10 seconds, come up with your group answer. What's it going to be? Yes or no? And time's up. All right. By show of hands. Actually, well, what did you decide? Sin, not a sin? Good or not good? You go sin. Okay, what did you guys decide? You're in a gray area, so you think it's a gray area, meaning there's nothing in the Bible that says it's wrong, but we're not sure if it's good. Boys? You're gray area?
No, we know what we know.
What's the answer, Abraham?
We're going to say it's sin.
Abraham's going to say it's sin. The rest of the boys are like, gray area.
You guys speak for the group, all right?
Yeah, yeah. not only that, but the boys also thought that Moses was the first one to smoke marijuana at the burning bush. So it was a burning bush of marijuana leaves is what it was. So Moses was seeing things, apparently. Yeah. So here's again how we have to look back and say, okay, sin or not a sin? Does there a Bible verse that specifically says thou shalt not smoke marijuana or ingest drugs or put something in our system? And the answer is there isn't one definitive verse for that. So then we have to go, okay, gray area. So if it's a gray area, then we have to start looking at those other things we said. Is this a gospel thing? Is God sovereign in this? Is this something that makes me a better disciple and helps me make disciples of other people? Yeah, because I'm feeling really good when I do it. No. Okay? So then we have to look at verses, and we've heard some from over here. I don't know if you came up with any, but you know, Romans 12, therefore I urge you, in verse mercy, God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Would a living sacrifice allow something to come into it? Because in the next verse, it also talks about no longer conforming to the world. That's a world thing. The world does the marijuana. Is that a God thing? Yes. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a little hard to renew the mind if the mind is under the influence of something, right? So we can extrapolate verses. Boys, you came up with one. What was your verse?
1 Corinthians.
Oh, that was the girls' verse. Okay, girls, what's the verse say?
You have two.
Yeah.
Two from Corinthians.
Okay, so that's the whole Paul thing where it's like everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. So you say, okay, well, I take medical marijuana because I like for medicinal purposes. Okay, so it's beneficial because it actually helps with my pain. Okay, well, then maybe God's going, okay, if it's a pain medication and it's something that's helping you and it's prescribed by a doctor and it's something you need, maybe that's okay. See, the problem with gray areas is that you have to dig deep in order to decide whether you're going to say yes or no. Now, what I love is Abraham's conviction, right? Because
What would Jesus do?
See, what would Abby do? That's what I would say. What would Abby do? What would the pastor do? See, what would Jesus do? Yeah, if you ask that question, okay, what would Jesus do? I don't know. I don't know if we could definitively say Jesus wouldn't take marijuana because we have nowhere in the Bible that we could ever know that. But what we do know is Jesus' character. And we're pretty sure based on his character, he's not going to be under that influence. He's under the influence of the Holy Spirit and he's God's son and he's not going to allow those things in because he would not be in control or under the Spirit's control. So we can extrapolate. And this is where it gets challenging. Because what if the person I'm dating or the person I'm going out with or my friend says, yeah, smoke the joint. I believe God doesn't say it's wrong. And we go, okay, I'm going to do it. Why? Well, you're a Christian. You don't say it's wrong. What if a leader comes up to you and says, hey, let's go out and have a toke in the back and you're going to smoke? It's a leader. See, but the point is, you have to make your decision because it's your faith. And that's why over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at these things and dig into the Bible and find out where do we stand. Because I'll tell you right now, if you don't know where you stand, you'll fall for anything. And there are so many people that will convince you to do things. And you'll go, I didn't see any harm in it. Because we never actually had a position for ourselves. We never learned what the Bible said, and we never decided, does that work for me? So I'm not going to say at this point, is it right or is it wrong? I will say it moves into a gray area. I will tell you this much. Don't do it or I'll kill you. No, I'm just kidding. It definitely, in my opinion, with my study of Scripture, is sin. Now, you can argue with me, but here's how you argue with me. You show me chapter and verse where it's not a sin. You come and show me where it's permissible. Don't just say, well, I disagree with you. I'm okay if you disagree with me. Then show me where your study of Scripture tells you something different. I don't believe you should have sex before marriage. You believe you can have sex? Show me where you can have sex in the Bible, and I'd be happy to switch my position to yours. But unless you can prove it scripturally, then don't come and say to me, well, I think you're wrong. And you say, well, that's not fair. You've studied the Bible longer than I have. Well, duh. I'm old. But I was your age at one point and had to make those decisions for myself when I was your age to say no to drugs, to never touch a drop of alcohol, to make sure I stayed away from sexual sin. I had to make those decisions at your age. I didn't just make those at 55. I haven't been a drunk all my life. And then at 50, I went, I think I should probably stop getting drunk because the Bible says it's wrong. No, I had to wrestle through that when I was 16 and on my first band trip when all the band students snuck out in the middle of the night and went and got drunk, and I was encouraged to go with them, and a couple of my Christian buddies went with them and got drunk. That's when I first had to make that decision, and my parents weren't there. I was in the middle of Fruitvale, British Columbia, that big metropolis. That's right, our band trips were exciting. Right? What's your decision? What are you going to decide? All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight, and I pray that in the next few weeks, as we wrestle through a lot of these issues, that we'll come up with our own biblical stance on them, so that we can say, yes, this is how much my phone I'm going to use. This is what I'm not going to do on my phone. This is what I'm going to do on social media. This is what I'm not going to do. This is what the Bible says is sin. This is what the Bible doesn't say is sin. And it's God, because we love you, and we want to glorify you, and we want to witness to people, and we want to share your love with our friends, that we want to be the best possible Jesus people we can be. We want to know what the Bible says, and we want to live our lives for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, sacrificed everything for us. And then all he has asked us in return, all you ask, God, is that we look at the instruction manual and follow it. And so, God, help us in the next few weeks to really dig into it and figure out what it says. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this...